Good evening. Testing.
Hello there.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Ross, you're the only guy there?
Yeah, it looks like there's only two of us so far. Well, there's wait, there's another person coming in.
All right.
Ashley is joining us.
Long time no see.
Yes, and I'm
Hey,
hoping that
Ashley.
I'm forgetting whether three is a quorum or four.
No, four.
Okay, then Mather's on the way.
Yep. And then Kristen's on here.
Oh, good. It's getting a little nervous.
Good evening.
Joe.
Hey, Joe.
That's what are you talking about?
Cause no baby.
Thought it was scheduled.
Well, it's scheduled in the sense that it's labor and they started at 7 this morning with the medications and nothing's happened yet. Yeah, I'd ask Bob if he would be able to cover for me, but then nothing happened, so here I am.
Yeah, that's amazing. Are you going to, is she over at which hospital?
She's at Manchester.
Okay, nice.
Oh, okay. So if we need to wrap up, we'll do that.
Yeah, let's see.
Well, you're very low key for the big event.
I've been sitting here all day. It's like I texted my son, how's Shirley, my daughter-in-law's wife doing? And He says, she's fine. We're just sitting here doing nothing, waiting here doing nothing. I said, well, enjoy it while you can, because that's all going to go away very soon.
I know. Right? I know.
Is this their first child?
It's their first child, which is also why it might take longer as well.
Yeah.
Right.
How are you doing, Bob?
Crazy. I've had a really crazy couple months. All kinds of medical stuff, and there's nothing wrong. I was actually scheduled for major surgery tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
But between my wife and I and common sense and, kind of pushing back, we had them do another test. And then in the end, they decided, okay, we don't need to take out 30 of your colon.
Oh, geez, Bob. I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's been crazy. They just put you through so much stuff, pre-op stuff and everything. It's been amazing. It's going on day after day after day after day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, good luck with everything.
Well, thank you. I'll take that. Luck.
I got one.
Charlie, you got a package?
I did. Okay.
Well, I saw Ashley. Our clerk was here, but now she's not. So I will just make sure when we get going to introduce, just state who's here. And if you guys, if you think of it, please just say who's talking, just step up her out and she works on it. I see.
Hi, Charlie.
Ms. Heck has a new to.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Krista.
Hi, Mather.
Hello.
About 12 seconds, I will call us to order.
This packet looks thick.
I know.
A lot of minutes. Okay, I have 7:15. I will call the September 21st regular meeting of the Board of Finance to order. And we have President Ross, the Chair, Ashley, Kristen, Mather and Charlie and Bob as members, and also we have Jill Collins, Jim Rupert, and Kristen Heck. So I don't think I missed anybody. So we'll start out with our usual after a call of order, which is public participation. And I am looking around, and we do not have the public present physically, and I'm not seeing anybody online either. So I guess... unless anybody wants to speak as the public, we can move forward. And again, I just want to welcome everybody back from summer before we get going any further. And this is our next to the last meeting. And next month, we will be having our going out of business sale until the new team takes over.
Do we get to sell the owl?
As long as we get a better price than what Jim and the town paid for it, I guess that works. As long as we give the money back over to the town. So let's go on with the approval of minutes for our June 7, 2023 meeting. So I'll just ask if anybody has any comments.
I have one. I mentioned it to you, Ross, earlier today in a conversation. I looked at the agenda for tonight, we have to approve the extension of the auditor's contract. And I think one of the first items in the notes from the June 7 meeting indicated that we approved it. But I think that there was a that we didn't go through.
There was a technicality, apparently, according to Jill, that we did not move to have it placed on the agenda specifically for discussion as we got started to modify the agenda. And so even though our intent was good, it wasn't official, so we need to make it official.
Okay, other than that, I didn't really see anything.
Any other comments? You can put on your thinking caps and go back to June 7th.
I wasn't there, so.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't see it on the way. I've been so. I don't see the auditor.
Is it on the 15th? Okay. So let's stick to the 7th.
Okay. Motion to approve the minutes for June 7th.
Second. Motion was made by Bob, seconded by Charlie. Any further discussion? Seeing nobody saying anything or raising their hands, I will ask for a vote. All those in favor?
I abstain.
Aye.
Aye.
Abstentions?
Me.
Me.
So we have Mather and Kristen abstained, and everybody else voted yes. And any nays? So motion passes by the five people who say yes. Let's go on to June 15th. Any questions, comments for June 15th minutes for a regular meeting?
I'll move to approve the minutes from June 15th as written. A second.
So Amanda moved to approve the minutes for June 15th as written, and Kristen seconded. Any further discussion?
Quick question. Was I there for that meeting? I don't have that up on my screen.
That's the one you left early from.
I made it.
You were there, and then you left early.
But we did talk about the Board of Education budget because there was an increase of what was expended from the year before.
That's actually a good point. Do we have it noted on there that what time Bob left?
Yeah.
No.
It says 8:10, right?
It said 8:10.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then that works. Yep. So I just see it there too. And Kristen arrived 3 minutes after we started. Any further discussions?
Ross, do you want me to bring up the materials on? Do you want me to bring them up on the screen?
If you could, because then it gives me a little more flexibility with what I'm doing, because we'll need them up for when we get to the next part. So let me entertain a motion to approve the minutes as is. Oh, we did that. Never mind. Sorry about that. So let's go and call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So the motion passes by all those present. Now we can move on to elected official and town staff reports, and we'll lead off with a Board of Education update from Kristen Hecht. So very curious to hear about, because we have all these negotiations for the contract and all that good stuff.
Good evening, everybody. Hey. So am I sharing? Is Jill sharing? I'm not sure who's doing what here.
I'm having trouble sharing. So if you can, Kristen, that'd be great.
All right, let me see.
Give me a hard time.
Yeah, no problem. Let me see if I have.
Okay.
If that fails, I can do it.
Just give me 1 second. Okay, can everybody see my screen?
There we go. Yep. Yes, yep. Showed up. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. So as of June 30th, 2023, we had expended 98% of our budget, and we have a total under expenditure of $370,112 unaudited that we anticipate will, you know, that will be returned to the town. That's our unaudited number. One of the things, though, that I want to talk about in that, right, is it's primarily due to salaries and benefits. We had some savings in legal, and we had some savings in transportation. The savings in transportation was a result of the fact that there were many times last year where we did not have a full cadre of bus drivers, just because it's hard to find people to work. And we kept very close track of that daily and went back to the bus company at the end of the year and said, we don't think we owe you X, Y, and Z. So we received a credit. So some money came back and will be returned to the town. So I just want to commend Casal and Joe and Daryl for doing what I asked them to do. And it was just to keep a very close and watchful eye on that. So the other piece, I need to stop sharing for 1 second because I need to look at another screen. The part about savings and salaries, I want to talk about a little bit more if I could. So we had unfilled vacancy savings of $73,000. We had new hire savings as a result of all the hiring we had done the summer and fall of last year to the tune of $115,000, which those two things alone are extreme variables for us. And I'm highlighting that because I want to be sure that I'm clearly articulating just how variable things can be. We had a number of teachers and paras go out on FMLA last year. We had savings there because they had time without pay to the tune of $99,000. However, we had a shortfall in substitutes because of all of the people out on FMLA to the tune of $91,000. So I just call that to everyone's attention because I think it's just important information to have. Also, because of all the new hires, we had savings. Let me go back to my sharing my screen here. Hang one second. Savings in benefits as well. So I'm just trying to get to that. But we also, so we expended just about everything in regular instruction. I think we left $3,000 there. Special ed, we continued to be in the hole for special ed to the tune of $181,000. And thankfully, we did have some savings in salaries and benefits because we were able to cover that shortfall, which I had been telling you about all year and the year before that. And again, some savings in administration, legal and other items. Savings in
transportation. Can we back up a second?
Yep.
To the totals on special ed, Kristen?
Yeah, totals on special ed, sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Right here, the 181,603 deficit.
Yeah, okay. That's what I want to see it a little bit better.
Yep. So, okay. And again, you know, I want to call to everybody's attention. That is just ever-changing, right? So we're going to talk about that when we get to this past couple of months. So
okay.
In total, right, an unaudited amount of $370,112, okay? And then... see if I can find the other one. Hang on 1 second.
You have a question?
I have a couple of questions.
Okay, sorry.
Kristen Gurley asking a question.
Quickly on two things, just to go back before I forget. The bus situation, is that expected to continue or?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a big unknown. All right, just wanted to make sure of that. And then the other thing with the new hires, that was due to benefit savings. That was not due to people being brought in just at a lower rate.
It's both, Kristen, right? So we had a number of people leave again, right? It's just education's very transient right now everywhere. And a lot of the people that we hired, we were able to hire at a lower step than the people that left. And lots of times the people that were leaving maybe had family insurance or two-person insurance, and maybe the person we hired had a single.
And how many openings do we have right now?
Currently, right now, we have one. Can I get to that?
Okay, yep, go ahead. I'm
if I can
the
keep
go ahead.
Them separated, that would help me, please.
Yep.
Any other questions about last year? Okay. I don't hear any others. So let me see if I can find my July and August budget status. Sorry, I wasn't totally prepared to share, so hang on one second. Okay. All right. Can you see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. So to date, for the end of for July and August, we have expended 5% of our appropriated budget compared to 5% at this time last year. You know, at this point, we're just projecting full expenditure, right? Because it's just too early to say anything else. A couple of things, though, I want to call to your attention. It is highly likely that within the next month, we will be in the hole again for special education. But again, the shortfall we had in special ed last year could have been larger. Some things changed, which is what happens. And it wasn't as large as we thought maybe it was going to be. We're going to have to wait to see how things play out with that special education. And we have one teacher opening currently that we cannot fill. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And we have two paraprofessional positions currently that we are trying to fill. Our chemistry teacher has resigned due to health issues. And we didn't know about that until the Friday before school started. So we quickly posted the position. As you can imagine, chemistry, it's a tough position to fill, and we did not have any viable candidates. So we had to quickly scramble because we had to do right by the kids. So teachers, and we moved the schedule around and have done some different things. And we've got some kids taking virtual high school, which was really not necessarily what we thought kids should do, but we offered it as an option, right? We opened up another physics section, opened up some other honors courses and some other science classes, and guaranteed the students that they could in fact have chemistry next year. We have a biology teacher right now who, once he gets that all set, he can be certified in chemistry. So for next year, he could be our chemistry teacher. So then we will need a biology teacher. It's very convoluted because in science at the secondary level, you have to have specific certification in the specific area that you teach. So you can't teach chemistry if you're certified in biology. You have to have a chemistry certification also. So we know that we have that savings. Again, may very well need that for special education this year. Questions for me?
So this is Ashley. Can you remind me, what is the biggest variable with special education that is most difficult to forecast for?
Outplacements for students.
Outplacements, okay.
Yep.
And then a few others besides that? Or is that...
Well, I mean, it could be a one-to-one paraprofessional is needed. Okay. You know, it could also be staffing as well as outplacements for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to just add to that the Board of Ed has done a great job with those outplacements, which are incredibly costly. And by trying to take as much of this in-house as possible, and to me, it makes total sense. Because instead of keeping these kids on a bus for an extra hour each way, 2 hours of lost input is hard to make up with certain competencies of other people. I just don't think it exists. So I'm happy to see those efforts and hope they continue.
Thank you. And again, we try to do that whenever it's right for the student, when it's right for them, right? But we also have a moral, ethical, professional responsibility to also make an outplacement when that is what is necessary for the student. And I appreciate Bob's accolades because our staff has worked really hard to create programs in-house. When I first got here, we just had students out. The cost, and Bob can speak to this, was
$1 million.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions for me?
I am not seeing any here. Bob, any questions? Additional?
No. I think we're gonna be good.
Mm-hmm. Guys, Kristen, the only other question I have is anything new with the contract negotiations?
So what I can share is that we're up for negotiations this year with the teachers for a new contract, which would start next fiscal year. I shared with Ross as the chair over the summer that the teachers union president and I had met, and we decided we'd like to try off the record negotiations again this year, as we had done 3 years ago. You may recall that. Mm-hmm. It saves a lot of legal cost money to the tune of many, many, many thousands of dollars. We successfully completed our off the record negotiations, and the teachers ratified it 65-0. The Board of Education ratified it all in favor. And it is the Board of Selectmen, I believe, is meeting next Wednesday to set a town meeting. Jim will correct me if I'm wrong on this, to set a town meeting to vote on the teacher's contract. I will also share with you that we are up for negotiations this year with custodians. I invited them to come to the table as well for off the record negotiations. I am bringing a tentative agreement to the board in executive session at their meeting in October.
Nicely done, Kristen.
Thank you. So I'm hopeful that the town passes the teacher's contract, because if they don't, I just want everybody to understand the landscape, right? Then we go back. It goes to mediation. We have to begin negotiations all over again, mediation and potential arbitration. Should that all take place, we are talking upwards of $100,000 plus that we did not budget for.
Is it a 3-year proposal, by the way?
It is, Bob, yes. So I can't say much more than that because I have to wait for the town meeting.
Any questions for what we can talk about the contract?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kristen.
Then we can move on to the Board of Selectmen and Tax Collection Summary.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody after the summer. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as possible. The first page you have before you, and I don't have the ability to put this up, so if somebody wants to share it, they certainly can. The first page is the blue page, which has the percentage collected for fiscal year 23, and that is a total of 100.25%. So I'm guessing there's probably not any questions on that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get there. There's a whole bunch of Board of Education stuff I'm still going through to get to it.
I got a quick question.
Sure.
So is that provided some additional funds with the final numbers?
So your adopted budget was 17,991,408, and your net collection was 18,271,522,40.
So a surplus of $270,000.
So if you look just above where it says previous year, current levy collected, if you look at that total bottom line, and it has the 100.25 all the way over on the left, the left-hand column, I mean the right, it shows you on the left-hand column what your adopted projection was. And then over here, just before the 100.25, it shows you what your net collection was.
If we show the whole all of the taxes together, which would be the yellow sheet, Ross, is that the next? Who's sharing now?
I think that's the next.
The next one. No, that's the other tax collection. So for the year, for all of the revenue together, it was $122,957 or $958, if you round it, for an increase over and above what we revised our revenues as. And again, that is unaudited because we still have that time period, the 60 days with the tax. So some of it's going to be adjusted back to last year. So that's still, that's not a final number.
And it hasn't happened yet.
Correct.
So yes, we collected more than we anticipated. Great. But the exact number is yet to be determined.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and what you're looking at now is tax collection rates as of 7/31/23, which was 77.9% of what was anticipated. But you'll see when you go to the next page, that has significantly changed. And that's the tax collection rate as of 8/31/23. So, Ross, if you could advance one page. So that's that's a little closer to up to date. This is at the end of August, right? So at the end of August, we had collected 97.83% of our projected taxes.
Our total current tax levy, though, is at 99.99%. So
right,
we're doing very well. It has slowed down substantially.
Yeah. And you know, we as is usual, you know, there are always some stragglers. We fully expect that we will, you know, continue to do well. The tax collection department has always done an extraordinary job.
And our taxpayers.
That's true as well.
Yeah. That's really good.
Another point is that Charlie Dan is speaking. Another point might be is that as of 8/31, we've reached a certain level where our interest rates will start showing the results of the changes that occurred this past year.
Yeah.
So we should be hopefully seeing possible in those accounts as well. Returns anyway.
That's accurate. Any questions on that sheet?
No.
All right. So now I think the next sheet you have in the package is the
revenue statement.
Yep.
I don't think it's got printed, Jim.
Yeah, I don't have that one in my package. Jill, do you want to speak to that?
That's the total revenue for 23.
Yeah.
Did I miss? Sorry if I missed it.
Yeah, it's not in the package. So if you wouldn't mind talking about it, because I didn't get a chance to study it.
No, really isn't. If you go, I can't see it. But again, if you go down to, let me see, what I spoke about earlier is that there's the 122,958 rounded. That's our total above and beyond surplus from our revised revenues. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the sheet, yep. Ross.
Correct. Yep, right there.
Down here.
Yep. That's
right
it.
There. So unaudited, of course, and we'll, once the tax adjustments are done, we'll have a better idea about that. But so that's for FY23 after our revised revenues.
We ended up with quite a shortfall in the interest thing, but that's not going to happen this year.
Nope, not at all.
No.
Well, not so. No, no, we won't have a shortfall at all because we've already gone above and beyond what was in put in for a budgeted revenue.
Yeah, I think we'll do all right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations and kudos to everybody who worked on that. Worked out great.
So how much are we doing better this year? Or do we want to wait till for another end discussion?
I'm sorry, Russ, what did you say?
The question was, what's the delta between what we projected for, you know, and what we have gotten so far?
If you keep going.
There you go.
Well,
let's see.
No, keep going.
That's the board of
Yeah, that's the last year. And if you look at July, go to August, you'll have a better idea, unless you want to stop at July with any questions.
So let's say questions in July before we move on.
Yeah.
And let's go to August, which seems to be the fun thing. Okay, here we go, August. How far down?
So it's in the top.
No, that's the tax one. You got to go a little further down.
A little further down.
The town other.
There it is.
Sorry, town other. I don't know why it says. Oh, that's the total. No.
It's okay.
So it's going to be $85,714.54.
So 61,000 or so more, so we're up 500% so far. Good. Again, that shows the benefits.
And that's going to drop as the year
goes. Right. As the money in our account goes down.
Yeah, as we start spending money, it's going to go down. Or the rate of accrual is going to go down.
Yeah.
Right. But nevertheless, it's going to be a positive balance each month.
It's a big change, yeah. It is. And if we have shortfalls in other areas of projected income, you know, it certainly will help.
But I also think this is an important number to highlight because we had, you know, townspayers coming to the Board of Selectmen asking why we don't have two different tax levies throughout the year. And I think this number is why we don't do that, right? Like, that's a big, significant difference. And if we had two different tax levies, we probably would not be getting this much money because we would not have that much over $5
million
in the administrative of it. Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah. It that's makes an accurate a big statement.
Difference. Yes, very much so.
I'm guessing we're going to have about another $300,000 in addition to that $85,000.
All right, let's rate that down and see if Bob's correct at the end of the year.
Russ, seems a little high.
Russ, you know, we've spoken about continuity. I think we do need to make sure, though, that this is something that gets, carried over to the next.
I thought that is a no.
Yeah.
We can talk about it when we get there.
All right. I keep jumping ahead.
That's fine. Jumping to things we need to talk about. But again, it just shows the value of not just doing business as usual, but asking questions and talking to some folks that we might not normally talk to. Anything else on August, Jill, that you want to point out, or Jim?
No, I don't think so.
No, there's really nothing that spikes out.
It's not. There's really nothing in our report today that's going to stand out by anything extraordinary.
Correct.
Okay. Just, again, we're still at the beginning of the fiscal year, really.
Mm-hmm.
So anything, are we done then with we're done with tax collection, I presume, and we're into town update?
Yep.
So what do you want to look at, Jim? I have
this is the fiscal year 2023, and it shows you know, that we have expensed 91.04% of our total budget. And there are some areas where we had monies left over, most notably in fringe benefits. You know, we had some positions that went unfilled, and there, you know, certainly been some changes throughout the course of the year. You know, and you know, to steal a phrase from Kristen with the administration, unexpended funds, you know, we expense what we think we're going to need for things like legal and professional and technical services. And, you know, last year we just didn't have a lot of legal expenses. We certainly had our fair share, but we didn't get crazy. You know, the other areas that, you know, that we look at are, you know, places like, you know, land use. And we used some of the monies from land use that were left over to fund the cost overrun for the assessor's position. But if you remember, you know, we went most of the fiscal year without a building official. I was, up until April of last year, I was still doing two jobs. So that has now changed. So that certainly will even itself out. Other places where we had, you know, significant funds left over were with the state police. They had a reduction in their fringe benefit costs, so that translated into some savings for us, which was,
it was not insignificant. Savings.
What's that?
It was substantial savings.
Yeah, it was very substantial.
Plus, we had some changing of resident state troopers there, where we had some that weren't as, hadn't been on the force as long, and then we got our other one back. So, but that was a huge saving, just the percentage of what the town has to pay in benefits was huge.
Right. And, you know, so then, you know, another standout in my mind is for, you know, parks and buildings and grounds. Again, you know, we budget, you know, what we think it's going to cost. But, you know, like to coin a phrase from Kristen, it's an ever-changing landscape. You know, you have to predict what's going to break and what's not going to break. You know, so in the grand scheme of things, you know, that particular budget did spend 91.39% of its budget, but had a leftover of 69,000. So that, you know, that really shows where we end up with, you know, some encumbrances and some unexpended funds. But I think, you know, and this really demonstrates, I think, if you look at it year to year, that things are getting tightened up a bit, which is our goal.
Just so everyone knows, this wasn't the final number. We had one more AP after, so in September. So this was as of August when I ran the report. So this is not the final number.
Is there any specific questions on how we ended fiscal year 23?
Amanda?
I didn't really have a question, but I was looking at last year's end of year compared to this year's and noticing that there wasn't a comparison to prior years. So I did go and I pulled the prior year numbers for some of the outstanding, you know, large differences that you just mentioned, Jim, just to see if there were trends, right? Like, are there years, are we always spending under by 5%, by 10%, by 30%? And there are some line items like property insurance. We are regularly only spending between 73 and 80%. So for the last 4 years, right? So looking at that trend, does that mean when you present us with a number, we should come in 20% lower because we have consistently been spending 20% lower on that item? And then I have an analysis for all the other ones as well, just trying to highlight where are we consistently spending under by like 5%, 8%, and maybe those are the areas when we come to, when we want to cut or need to cut, that we can guess that we're going to be under by that amount because there's a trend showing that we're under by about that percent, right? It's not the percent of the same number because the number changes every year, but if we're always coming in at under 5%, maybe we can get rid of that 5%. So just some things we might want to flag for the next finance committee. Some other things, administration, I know is volatile, right? But if we've consistently been, for the last 3 years, we were consistently, you know, coming in at least 10% under, fringe benefits at least 5% under, you know, and that's leaving still a cushion, right? Like, because we obviously don't want to run out of money, but, you know, I think we've been hearing loud and clear that people I have been hearing that that people are not happy with the taxes. And I think next year is going to be a harder fight, quite frankly. So just bearing that.
Yeah, and the flip side of it, though, is the tighter you make this year, the less you give back next year. And so you wind up with maybe a higher rate than you thought, at least when you first do, if you do that, the first time you do that change.
Totally.
So it's just something that people have to understand. You got to pay it one way or another. Which way do you want it? Do you want the savings for this year that go into next, or do you want this year to be lean? And then next year you're going to see a little higher rate than you would if we put money in.
But it's helpful to have it at the line item level so you understand.
And I guess what I hear specifically is that there's a lot of people saying there's a lot of fluff because of things maybe like this, right? Like, it's not a lot. In the grand scheme of the percentage of the overall budget, it's not. But, like, consistently I hear that they think there's a lot of fluff in the budget. And whether there is or isn't, like, we need to have the analysis to show them where there may be room and where there isn't room, right?
And you also need to explain that if you take a guess and you put it right to the wire and then we run out of money, then you run the risk of having a new assessment or something like that happening later in the year. So there's trade-offs. It's a balancing act. And where do you want to put the, you know, the fulcrum for the balance? So I know it's like, it's good sound bites for people who want to say it's too much money, it's fluff. You know, there's 5% you keep giving back, but then you have to think about, well, what does this really mean and what are the consequences if you change it? And the discussion is not that good a sound bite.
But you need a basis for discussion.
Well, but you know what, though? I would also look from another direction, a couple of things. And first off, I don't know if the analysis showed anything about any red flags where we were well over budget on some of those items. So that's one thing to put in. The other thing is that I think back, especially to like the capital budget for things that got cut, like the improvement to the soccer fields, which was like, I think it was like $50,000. It just didn't make the final cut. And what kills me about that is that's something where we rent those fields out. We, you know, so it's like, how are we going to self-sustain some of these things if we can't maintain them? So just a couple of things for, but I think they're good points. I do appreciate taking a look at
what regularly. Yeah, because it prompts this kind of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would hope that we could get more people to sit in and listen on it, because you really need to be present for this to understand this.
I think it's important to note, Charlie Dana speaking, I think it's important to note that with the change in the status of the Java Commission is going to be set up from what it is today, we hadn't had in the past really a line item situation where we could pick line items and say change it. We could express that might be a solution, but obviously we couldn't say anything about it. So with the new commission, making them aware of our thoughts, I think, is most important so that they can examine it and review it.
Yeah. Bob Monroe, you have a question?
I do. And more an observation. Thank you, Ross. I mean, the reality of an organization is there's always turnover. So, you know, you budget appropriately for full staffing and full fringes and your best guesses. But the reality is there's always going to be turnover. So there's always going to be, less expended, or I shouldn't say always, but mostly there's going to be less expenditures than anticipated of full employment of all jobs, all vacant, all positions filled. So that's why I'm always looking at that number, because it is the most volatile number. And so when you look at these numbers as the year goes on, you know, you can always watch the salaries and benefits and get a good indication of what's happening. And you can predict turnover from it, actually.
Yeah. Kristen, you've got a comment? Heck.
Yes, thank you, Ross. I guess my only comment to that would be that I think right now, I'm only going to speak for the Board of Ed, but right now in the space that we are in for teachers and paraprofessionals and anybody to work in a school system, I don't know that that's going to be wholly accurate. Perfect example would be if we had been able to, because we had a chemistry teacher who had shared with another teacher that maybe they were interested in coming, except the school year had started and they just felt like they were going to leave their district in the lurch and couldn't do it. And I applaud their professionalism. We would have had to hire that person at a higher rate than the person who left. So in education right now, that is a paradigm shift that is happening. So I don't know that that rings true right now. And I'm just putting that out there. The other thing I just want to call to everyone's attention is, you know, minimum wage is going up. So collectively, we have to take a look at our hourly employees' wages and look at the delta between the first or the second tier of wages and where minimum wage is going to be from where it was 3 years ago when we negotiated. It's just a caveat.
Yeah, and what something I'd like to point out, if I could, you know, the savings just in the building official category land use was in excess of $100,000, not including the fringe benefits. I'd also like to say that if you look carefully, you'll see in the last 2 years, the administration budget has been cut both years. We continue to pare that down a bit at a time. You'll also find that on the town side, since I started as the town administrator, it is not a free-for-all with spending in March, April, May, June, and July. We spend what we have in our budgets. We don't spend things that we haven't budgeted for. And I think that's an important note. So we continue to tighten those belts. We continue to look at all of that stuff. You know, I'm a very conservative individual by nature, and my goal is going to be to tighten this budget up a little bit more. But there's a point at which you're going to see me say I'm uncomfortable going any further. You know, and that's just the reality of it. We had a very mild winter last year. A rough winter could have changed that landscape tremendously.
I was going to say that it could, and it affects all over the board. It affects a lot of things, diesel right. fuel and overtime and all of those sand and salt.
That so we have to, you know, we have to keep all of those things in mind. Is there room to tighten this budget a little bit more? Absolutely. I have areas that probably we would agree on that we can tighten the budget and either keep spending at a similar level to what it was this year, or in fact decrease it. And but you know, we'll be getting into those conversations soon enough.
Yeah, and I think they're very good, conversations to start having, because again, we're sitting here. I work in a condemned building as registrar, and we have to get a trailer. So there's some things about where we've been as the Board of Selectmen part, penny wise and pound foolish, because you look and we have a much better set of school infrastructure and a much better set of fire infrastructure. So I don't want to cheapen us into a worse state, you know, with the town side of the budget. So I'll just put that out there with the understanding that, you know, the tax, there are legitimate concerns that people have about the taxes. So anyway, Bob, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say that my little rationale about benefits and wages together had nothing to do with criticism of either board, but more maybe something that Amanda, when she's talking with these people who think that they're seeing money flying out the windows, that she can use that. The main surpluses that we get come from those two areas, and they are hard to predict.
No, and I would echo the same. Like, it's in no way a criticism because we helped build this budget, right? I mean, it was all in it together, right? Like, you know, and there's definitely areas where when you look at the trends, you can see the major volatility, and you don't want to touch those because, like, you could end up, you know, in a really bad situation. It's just like, if we see trends over a very, you know, an extended period of time, might those be the areas where we could take a closer look is all that I was saying. And maybe it's to free up money for those other items, you know, for a town hall building for the registrars, a place to store our voting machines, whatever the case may be, you know, we're not just going to get extra money for those things, right? We have to carve it out from somewhere. And so just trying to do as much analysis as possible, looking at trends, I guess, might be.
There's a risk involved.
Right. Yeah. Always.
It's like you said, name your poison, and because something has to give one way or another, and it's what is that balance that most people find acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And with the understanding, no one is, you're not going to be able to make everybody completely happy, but where's the sweet spot where we can, you know, have the most agreement?
Right. Because I also hear, you know, a lot of people are upset with the school systems right now, and they would like to have, you know, their sixth grade Spanish back, right? Like,
yeah,
you've got it on both sides. So,
and maybe we can shift money or the new, the new realm from one line item to another. Like, you know, maybe taking a look at the grant line that is new, see how that goes, and if that's beneficial.
So why don't we move some of this on to like the new business part where we're talking about what we might do in the future so that we can stay on track and wrap this one up.
We only had one more sheet for the town, and that just to show you where we are with the current year budget. And I'll just, unless you have any specific questions, I'll just say that there's nothing there that stands out to us as of concern. And then you had just a transfer report.
Can I ask one question about the transfer report?
Sure.
That second one that was over 22,000, was that, just to make sure I'm reading it correctly, that was payroll from building and land to be changed over to professional services for building and land, right?
Right. It was within the budget.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
And that was simply because there was an employee that was categorized in the wrong
we had to give Patrice more hours because we didn't have a building and land an official yet. So Patrice was working more hours in that particular situation.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we didn't have Rich yet.
It wasn't Patrice. It was our consultant for zoning services.
You're right. Pike. Sorry, you're right.
Any other questions on the transfer report?
Nope.
I'm not seeing any others. Bob, you good?
Not good.
And I don't think we have anything else to go under other. So we can move to the ongoing business one, which is discussion and action, the one-year extension on the auditor's contract. And this is really to make formal the discussion and vote that we had before, but doing it right because it's an item on the agenda.
Correct.
So I would entertain it's one of those things I hope the vote comes out the same way it did the last.
I will once again make a motion that we extend our auditor's contract by a year and proceed with an RFP.
And that's Amanda making the motion. And then we had Ashley second the motion. Any discussion? Since we already did that 2 weeks ago. And I'm not seeing any discussion. So all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? So it is approved by all those members present.
Thank you.
Then we can go on to new business, and here's where you can get back to some of those things we were talking about before. And what I had done is, and I send this, Jill, I'll send you a copy of this later. I just didn't think of it earlier, is Amanda had sent to me earlier a listing of items that she had thought of which would be good. So I'm going to pass those out here. I will send you, Jill, forward you a copy of her email so that we can get it into the record.
Okay.
And I will ask Amanda to just go through and read it. And I'm not going to ask her to try to remember it all since this is from like July or something, June.
These were literally just based on notes I had taken at the meeting and things that people had said. So these are not all my ideas, but just my notes of people's ideas. So the first on the list was the dental premium fund that is currently sitting and not being used right now. The Board of Selectmen has discussed it
relatively recently, I believe. I want to say it was the July meeting, July or August, and they did table the conversation and wanted to bring it back up again in the future, so we just kind of have to hold them to it, hopefully. The goal of budgeting for future expenditures in smaller increments over a period of time and making this a priority. So this is what the committee tried to do, and then ultimately some of those incremental increases ended up being what got cut from the budget. And so when I say make it a priority, I mean don't cut them. So it becomes an effective strategy. Interest on bank account, we've already talked about.
Well, before we pass off that one, Bob, you had some thoughts that you shared with me.
In regards to, I didn't hear what the last thing that Amanda said.
This is the interest on the bank account. So this was what you and I have been talking about. It was your idea, so I'd like you to bring it up.
Yeah, I was just saying we need to consider, you know, all the funds that are possibly available to us that could collect interest that are not at this point. What comes to mind would be, as an example, the Capital Reserve Fund, which I don't know exactly what the average balances in that, but I think it's significant, and it carries over from year to year. So if that's not gaining interest, we should find a way to move that into an account with the bank, who has been very receptive, obviously, to our concerns, and has increased the amount of participation that we have in the interest area. There's a few others, like the cemetery fund, which I think is around $1 million, but I'm not sure we can touch that one. But anyway, just rounding up whatever funds we can, that may be dormant, that we can collect interest on.
So, I mean, part of it is just which bank holds these accounts? And if we were to be able to somehow transfer them to the bank that holds our general fund stuff, or whether you transfer it to them, put it in the same, you can't put it in the same account, but you could have collectively a larger balance that they have that they might want to.
Or we could beat on the existing bank. We could beat on them and say, hey.
Yeah.
But so it's my, well, and Jill can answer this, but are they even, are they separate bank accounts or just earmarked separately in the same bank account?
And Jill has her hand raised. So okay. I think she wants to comment on what we're talking about.
So what everybody needs to know is that the Chelsea Groton has looked at the last couple of years of what we have for a balance for a period of time. So the money that's in the general fund above and beyond that $5 million right now is what's collecting 4% interest. Right. You take away money from that and you put it into an interest-bearing account.
We were just talking the other way around. Mm-hmm. Some of these other funds held by banks other than Chelsea Groton.
And there isn't, at this point, there isn't a lot of them. Other than STIF, we are trying to move everything out of all the other banks. The only other bank there is M&T. And we're trying to move everything out of that into the STIF account, because right now the STIF account has the best deal going ever.
Better than 4%? Really?
Pardon?
Better than 4%?
Yes, it is better than 4%.
Stiff it.
Yeah. So that being said, yes, I am all over that. And we have moved money into those accounts to get the best interest we can possibly get. But we can't take too much out of Chelsea because we're going to lose that 4%. If we don't. And the Capital Reserve money is money that's in the general fund, is due to Capital Reserve, but it's still part of that money that gets the 4%.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for that explanation, finally.
Yeah, well, finally?
Yeah. You know, I've mentioned this two or three times, and I've never heard a word.
Whatever. Let's move on. So I guess a quick question. What is
I answer the questions that are asked. If you don't ask them, I don't know.
Miscommunications.
What does STIF mean? You said your STIF account or?
Short-term.
That's the state account.
Okay.
Well, with that said, hopefully we're in good shape then.
Bob, your hands up.
Nothing else there.
Your hand is still up, Bob. Are you all set?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Could I ask, do we have that document up, Russ? Oh, no, this is the email that you sent, right?
This is the email that Amanda sent, yes.
Can we add, especially now that we can show impact for that interest, again, to carry it over, just so that we have an example to say, this is what we were able to accomplish, and this is the why behind it. Because one of the whys, which I think is really important, and we do not want to get in the situation again where we actually lost money on interest. We were paying it out because we fell beneath the limit, yeah. In addition to the fact that it was a lower interest rate. So those two little notations, I think is important to include in there, just for at some point, you know what? It's fluid. We're going to have like another conversation, I'm sure, with the banks and whatnot, just so that we have it.
So the next thing I had was kind of what we just talked about, which is a more deliberate review of the audit. Well, no, that's not something we've talked about. So I've only been on the Board of Finance for a short time, but we were new to the audit. We never really...
You mean the auditor's report?
Yes, the financial statements. We never really took a meeting to go over them. We asked a question, but that was it. So I think the committee probably should do a more in-depth review of the audits to know what they say and have a discussion together on the record about them for the public. And then obviously a deliberate process for choosing the auditor, which we or the next board are about to embark on through the RFP process. And then, you know, my pet project, making the budget presentation super simple for the public and having a super simple version of each subsequent version of the budget that's being voted on, to me is important that we build in the capacity to change the presentation before every referendum so they're not voting on an old presentation that they don't have, because I think it needs to be in simple terms for each referendum.
So it might be good to start working on now.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Maybe after the elections, right?
Yes.
We'll see who's doing it.
Yes, but I mean, not even whoever. It's just something good, I think, that the Finance Committee, regardless of who is on it, really should do.
And then the other thing that came out a little bit during our public hearing was having all budgets simplified and having the detailed Board of Selectmen and Board of Ed ideally on one page of the website so everything can be found in one place. I know, you know, Board of Selectmen had theirs up on the front page of the town. The Board of Ed had theirs on their website, but can we have is it possible to put them together and have an actual budget page as opposed to just links on the main page of the website, right? Like, I think we need to be much more deliberate about that. Having looked at other towns' websites in the creation of my presentation, I did find that most towns had a page specific to their budget and past budgets. And I know we have some of that, but not as maybe comprehensively as we could.
Yeah, but, you know, and related to that, too, is something that I have talked about and tried to be consistent with is that we are a town, a small town, and we have a total budget that all of our taxpayers contribute to. And there's two pieces to that budget, Board of Selectmen and Board of Education, but it's all one town. It's not two separate towns.
Correct.
Though that is also, I mean, I don't have that as a recommendation because I don't know that I'd recommend it, but some towns do vote on them separately.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I wasn't talking about separating the voting. I was just talking about physically, you know, physically we are one town, and spiritually and emotionally and all that other good stuff, we are one town. We are Bolton, and all of us pay into the total budget.
Doing that would also encourage interaction between the taxpayers and the boards, as I would see it. If it is available out on the website, if it is there, if it's been simplified, those that are dissatisfied with it, either for or against it, when they make their presentation to the board as the process is developing, not only will we have the information available for us to be able to review, they'll have it as well, so that we may get someone coming in and saying, you guys spend too much in taxes. This is where you spend it too much. This is where I want to see the change. And I love the idea of the discussion going on as part of our consideration involving the ordinary taxpayer.
You could even have a click to comment link so that the it's very easy. It's right there and goes to an email box that's available to Board of Finance, Board of Education, and Board of Selectmen, you know. Because again, this also gets down to customer service, because we are here to serve, you know, the public who are our customers, and that's something we really need to constantly be aware of. And how hard is it for people to get this information? I mean, there's this. I mean, that also brings up just a certain amount of, you know, a limit to how much and what we can do, and people have to participate; they have to buy into it too.
But you're also providing an education to
people. Yes.
And that's the part that I think is what they're really looking for, answers. And it's not only questions, but it's answers. And that's a positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say that a lot of towns also do send out a mailing, not before every referendum, right? But at least one when you have the final budget before the first referendum. And I know that's an extra budgeted cost, right, that has to be considered, but it's just another potential thing that we may want to consider, particularly because we have an aging town, right? And not all of them have access to the internet or know how to use the computer. So, and or maybe making the presentations available at the senior center, right? Something.
And it's also just important to, I think, Charlie, you brought this up when some people were commenting about the budget here when we were doing our public hearing. You may fact that by the time you get to here to this hearing, you know, the basically the horse has already left the barn.
Yeah.
Because all the discussion has occurred on what goes into the budgets. And when folks come here at the last minute to go to the public hearing that we do or that the finance committee will be doing, it's essentially too late to change the substantially change the balance or what people consider important.
Mm-hmm. And there's always going to be people that are going to complain and not do anything to change it, right? And we have to recognize that. But I think that, like, over the last 2 years, like I observed 2 years ago and I've been part of it this year, I think we have increased participation, which I think is really good. And so if we can keep doing that, then maybe the budget will be more reflective of the majority of town members. And
yeah, because I was very pleased with the number of people that we got at the public hearing.
Yeah,
and the voter turnout. And just the number of opinions that people expressed. They weren't all pro-Board of Education. They weren't all pro-Board of Selectmen. It was a very good, you know, mix of observations, you know, and concerns. Mm-hmm. We just have to see how we build on that.
It's hard.
Anything else folks think of matter? Give you the floor.
No, I think that's always been my sort of wish is to try to get people more information, because I hear a lot of misinformation.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
People come, you know, talking to people, they'll say something and I'm like, that's not even true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had someone try to tell me something within the presentation that wasn't, and I had to be like, I made it. So no, that wasn't in there.
Yeah, the other thing, so it kind of goes hand in hand with the comment on the auditor's report. I do think we have to better understand the interaction between the town, Board of Finance, and the fire department. I don't understand that connection. Mm-hmm. So I think that goes with more deliberately reviewing the audit report. So that should come up as a topic there. But
you and I have talked about this as well, and you were concerned about where does the money go when it actually gets there? What accountability is there?
Right.
And understanding that, like, yes, they are a nonprofit entity, but I think we were talking about how nonprofits also show how their contributions are handled, where the money goes to.
And I don't know off the top of my head, but I would assume it's a fair amount of our order.
I want to say that the amount. Jill, do you remember the amount that they don't report back to us on for the audit? I want to say it's 20,000 to 30,000. It's not a significant, I mean, it's significant, but not.
I'm sorry. Can you ask that again?
The amount I can't remember what the line item is called.
It's funding every year. And then.
But there's only one line item where we don't know how the fire department uses it.
Really?
Right?
All the proficiency.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. And I didn't appreciate that at all.
How much is the proficiency fund? I want to say 20 to 30, right?
20 something, I believe. 20 something thousand, I believe.
Yeah, I think we budgeted 27,000 for it last year. And didn't spend quite that much.
No, that's retirement. That's a retention. Proficiency, they get the whole amount, and that's for the calls. So we don't know who gets the money based on the calls and how many calls they go
right.
to. Yeah, that's retention is that one where we didn't spend all the money.
Yeah. And retention, correct me if my understanding is wrong, is I believe that goes to a third party who administers like a retention plan for like a retirement.
That's retirement based on, I believe it's over 15 years. At a certain age, you get, based on the time that you've spent volunteering, you get a certain amount of money.
Yeah. Bob, you've got your hand up again.
I think that's why they call it a discrete organizational unit in the audit.
It's discrete. It's still public dollars. I mean, so
too meaningful.
I don't understand the big picture at all. And you can't really see it in the auditor's report. So
yeah, so that would be good to understand.
Understand that.
I don't think it's a takeaway from like,
no.
what the fire department does in any way, shape,
or
form, or insinuating
yeah.
trust. It's just in the trying to be transparent, I think.
Yeah.
And what is the finances board, you know, fiduciary responsibility and
right.
pulling together at all?
Yeah. Kristen? Barley?
I think just if, especially if there are new members who haven't served on any of the boards or committees in the past, maybe just something about the collaboration that we have with Jim and Jill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's understood because,
yeah.
you know, I mean, they're professionals that are working and these are long days for them, which is very different from, you know, our role, which we're for the most part volunteers, you know.
Yeah.
So just so that's understood.
And Charlie, anything?
Nothing else I can think of.
Amanda, Bob.
Good.
Yeah, the only other thing too that we should talk about too is the importance of our bond rating too, and making sure that we're aware of the actions that we take and how it affects our bond rating. Because that's something new members may not be aware of, because we often just talk about the budget and what money did we move, how are we spending against plan, but then there's also this bigger picture that if we want money for these things like Kappa that we're talking about in the future and such that we need to take any bonds out on, that any bonding will be cheaper if we do, you know, keep an awareness of like our reserves and other things. So again, it's just something good to keep, you know, as part of the discussion, particularly for new folks, because there's a lot of moving pieces and some of them are kind of off in the future and they're really not in your face.
Should we also include fund policy too then?
Then
it goes hand in hand, the fund policy.
When you say
grant,
fund policy,
grant,
what do you mean?
Yeah.
For grants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess the next question would be like, what are next steps? Are folks envisioning that this gets drafted into a memo that then gets delivered to the first new finance committee, or what do you guys think in terms of how we transfer this knowledge?
I think it should just be, like we said, at our going out of business sale next month, this is one of the things that we're selling at a low price, like free, giving this, you know, as free advice. So, yeah, I think it should come from us as a team. It shouldn't just come from the chair or anything. It just should be, here's our finance team handing over our wisdom, you know, all of this.
You know,
written standalone document. And That way it can be go to whoever needs it, because we won't know until all the elections are done.
And I'd say simple. I wouldn't say much more than, you know,
no.
what you have here, because I think this is, anybody can understand this.
Well, yeah, this wasn't really meant to.
I think the simplicity, I think a lot of people will appreciate it.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is just stuff that we've learned over the course of doing this work. And I know I've learned a lot, because I really hadn't been involved with the town finances, and it was mostly just out of curiosity. And it's really been a learning experience, because this is the part of what makes it possible. It can become kind of boring in times to other people, but if you don't do this, we don't really get things done for the town.
I don't think our meetings are boring.
So if you want to.
I don't think our meetings are boring.
No. I mean, no, I don't think so either, but I'm saying sometimes for people who are not into finances and stuff, I'm not saying it's boring at all from us. It's just outsiders looking in, they can glaze over. So, Amanda, if you wanted to do this, since this was yours, if you wanted to throw a couple other high points in, and we could look at it the next meeting, or is that too much?
Sure. I'll add it to the to-do list.
Yeah, we will be there.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely.
Oh, actually, okay. As long as it's not my husband's birthday.
Ross, I understood from your comments at the beginning of the meeting that there was some sort of a minor error in your action for the 1-year extension of the auditor's contract, but I think you've skipped over that. So I don't want you to forget if you need to take action.
No, we did.
No, they got it. They did get it.
Okay. I must have been looking at something when you did it.
Yeah.
It was so quick.
Yes, it was very quick, because there was no further discussion. It was just like, let's cut to the chase, because we already approved it, so let's just do it right this time with the motion
I thought you skipped over it, so.
That was quick. If you blinked, you missed it.
I did. I was studying my documents.
It was very short.
So I guess I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
And then I have a second on it.
Yes, I'll second.
Then,
you need Bob the first.
Bob made the motion, and Amanda seconded it. We're done. Thank you all very much, and we will meet again next month.
Good night.
Good night, all. Good night, everybody. Take care.